Take your Bibles tonight, please, and turn to Luke 15. Luke 15. Now, while you're turning, let me just tell you a couple of things here. We had the school auction Friday night, and that was one of the most fun events that I've been to in a long, long time. We just had a blast. And I want to thank everybody that participated in that and helped out with that. And we raised a lot of money for the school, and I appreciate that so much. And just thank the Lord for this school year and how things are going. And there's such a good attitude and good spirit in our school, and we thank the Lord for it. And we're getting a lot of interest out in the public. Folks are getting fed up with the public school system, and they realize, they're hearing that there is an alternative. And that alternative is Carroll Christian Schools. And so if you know of someone that has children, and you can maybe give them some information about our school, I think that would be a helpful thing. And this then coming this Friday night, Pastor Campbell already mentioned this, but this there's actually going to be two presentations, if I'm reading this right. Am I reading this right? And that's this coming Friday at 1 o'clock. There is a matinee performance from our drama department, I guess that's the right word. And they are doing a play called Cafe Murder. Now that sounds kind of rough, but I understand that it's good, and you'll enjoy it. Now, if you're not doing anything Friday, I would encourage you to come. And they need to know if you're coming, if they're going to feed you, because they have to know how many folks are going to be there. At lunchtime or at 1 o'clock, they're just having popcorn and cookies and something to drink. But if you go for the 7 o'clock thing, they're having a dinner. And ladies, this will save you having to cook. So that sounds positive to me. So if you would like to go, you need to get your tickets. It's by reservation only. And I presume the tickets are out here at the welcome desk tonight. So after the service, why don't you stop out there and get some tickets and come Friday night and support Carroll Christian Schools and support our senior class. And I know that they would appreciate it greatly. All right, Luke chapter 15, please. And I want to start reading in verse 1, and we're going to read down to verse 10. And so you follow along here as I read the scripture. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Now, I want you to stop and just think about that for a moment. Here's a guy who's got 100 sheep. And he counts his sheep. He knows something's not right, so he counts them. And he says, "I got one missing." And he leaves the 99 and goes searching for the one. Now, we read this all the time, and we've heard this all of our lives in Sunday school and right along, and it's old hat to us. But would you think about the love of this shepherd? Would you think about the consecration that this man has for his job? Would you think about his sense of obligation to all of the sheep. One is missing. And he leaves the 99 and goes looking for the one. That's dedication. That's dedication. Verse 5 says, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Now, do you think that you would get that excited if it were you? Would you call your friends and your family and say, hey, we're going to have a party. I had a sheep that got lost. A sheep. Not a child. I could understand him having a party if he'd lost a kid, his own child, but no, it was one little sheep. And so he got excited when he found it. He had a party when he found it. Verse 7, I say unto you, this is the Lord now applying the parable, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver? Notice numbers are involved here. You had 100 sheep, and now in this parable we got 10 pieces of silver. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, you start in verse 11 and you read the story of the prodigal son. Then you go down to verse 25 and you read about the older brother of the prodigal son. So there, the parables just continue on. The Lord is trying to show, and remember now, verse 1, he is speaking here to folks that are sinners, folks that need to get saved. And he's talking about how when that which is lost is found, that there's rejoicing. And that's the point that he is making. All right, so I'm not going to preach on verse 11 down to the end of the chapter. I think I can make the point just using the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, and I think you'll get the point. So let's pray together, and then I want to bring a message tonight on the lost sheep and the lost coin. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our time together tonight. I pray that you will bless now the message. Father, help us to see how much you love us. Help us to see your heart and your compassion. And Lord, I just pray that we will all be strengthened and encouraged. And Father, as we realize that one day we were this lost sheep, one day we were this lost coin, but you didn't give up. You did not give up on us. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you stayed after me and that one day when I was lost in sin, you found me and I got saved. And Lord, I'm so thankful for that. I'll never get over what you did for me when I trusted you as my personal Savior. And Lord, may none of us get over it. May we be thankful and realize your grace and your goodness. So bless now in the message and speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name and amen. I think I read somewhere that Luke chapter 15 is the chapter of lost things. It's the chapter of lost things. The Lord is talking about things that were lost. In the first seven verses, we have the parable of the lost sheep. In verse 8 through verse 10, we have the parable of the lost coin. And then in verse 11 through verse 32, we see the parable of the prodigal son, the younger brother, and the parable of the older prodigal son, the older brother, or if you will, the parable of the lost sons. So everything that is discussed in this chapter is connected to at one time or another being lost. Now the parable of the lost sheep has inspired mankind since it was uttered by the Lord Jesus here in this chapter. In the catacombs of Rome, there is a beautiful painting of this parable showing the good shepherd with the straying sheep and literally millions of eyes have seen it. In the picture, there is a look of great gladness and great excitement on the shepherd's face, and the artist felt the wonder of the heart of God, whose heart is always seeking that which is lost. And millions of people have walked by that painting, realized that it was inspired by Luke chapter 15, and then realized that in the face of that shepherd, the love and the heart of the Lord Jesus, who is always seeking after that which is lost. And then in verse 8 through verse 10, we read the parable of the lost coin. Now, this one is this parable is not something that that the Western world can readily identify with. But let me assure you that the Middle Eastern culture and the Eastern world certainly understood the thought behind the lost coin. You see, this, you and I think, well, I have a Brennan, no, it was in my jeans pocket. Brennan was playing with a dime today, and that scared me to death. I thought he's going to eat that, sir, as I'm standing here. So I took it from him, put it in my pants, but it was my jeans I had on before I came to church. I was going to pull a dime out. I don't bring change into the pulpit because I rattle it. It gets on my nerves. I know it gets on theirs. All right, so I don't put coins in my pocket before I come into the pulpit. But here's the idea behind the lost coin. You and I think of just a coin that was in our pocket. Oh, I had a quarter, now I've lost it. And now, listen, would you tear the house apart to find a quarter? I wouldn't. Now, some of you probably would. Those of you that are compulsive in nature, you probably would. But it would not bother me. But let's suppose that you had a quarter and you lost that quarter. That's what we think of. But that's not what the parable of the lost coin is all about. You see, the reason that this coin was so important to this woman in the verses is because the coins were a part of her dowry. Karen bought a book when we were in Israel, and there is a picture of a Bedouin woman, and she is dressed in wedding attire, and she has coins sewn into a veil that went across her face. And that's the idea behind this coin. That's why it was so precious to her. And that's why she was willing to just go all out in order to find the coin that she had lost. So here she was. She had her dowry on. She's getting ready to walk down the aisle. She's getting ready for her wedding. And somebody says to her, "Wait a minute, you lost a coin off your veil." And so stop everything. She's got to go find this coin and put it back in place. And that's the idea behind it. So she had a coin that was lost off of her veil that was her dowry. And she would leave nothing uncovered in her house until she found it. And notice that just like with the parable of the lost sheep, once the coin was found, great joy was had by everyone. That is the one lesson that unites these parables together, all of these parables together in this chapter. And folks, the point is that the point that's being made is that God sent himself in the form of his son, and he came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I want us to look at these two parables tonight, and I want to try to tie them together for you and point out what I think are some obvious things that will teach us about just how much God loves us. They will show us just how diligently the Lord is seeking and saving that which is lost, and just how much he wants us to come to him, and he wants us to trust him for the salvation of our souls. Let me give you four things real quick. Number one, first, we see in both parables God showing us the value of one soul. We see God showing us the value of one soul. Hey, folks, in both parables, it was for one that the focus was made. Notice that it was for one sheep that the shepherd went out on the search. And notice that it was for one coin that the woman thoroughly searched her house. Now, you and I, in our culture today, we might better understand if this shepherd had lost, oh, let's say, 10 of his sheep, 10 out of the 100. We might then could understand, well, I understand he lost 10 sheep. He's going to go find them. But he did not lose 10. He lost one. Do you see the point that I'm making here? It was for one. I mean, we might could understand his actions if he had lost 10 and he left the 90 to go out and find 10 little lost lambs. We might could better understand his actions. But he left the 99 just so he could go find the one that was lost. The strange thing is that the 99 were all safe. But the thought of one being out there lost and one being out there alone all by itself and one being in danger caused the shepherd's heart to break within him, and he said, I've got to just leave these 99 and I got to go find the one. Wow, what an illustration. What a parable is this parable of the 99 safe and the one that was lost. But then notice that this woman, she had 10. She had 10 coins on her veil. She had 10 coins. She had many coins on her veil. It was not like she lost half of the coins that were given to her by her fiancé's dad. No. She just lost one of the coins. Yet the loss of one coin caused her to hunt diligently and then caused her tremendous joy and excitement when she found it. And folks, what does this say to us? Well, this speaks to us of the worth and the value of one single soul. Folks, one soul is worth everything to the Lord. The Lord Jesus was trying to get us to see the great heart, the great concern of God for the recovery of even one individual soul. And that says something to me. That says that in the mind of God, I am separated out. That means in the mind of God, I am separately loved by Him who counts and numbers each one of us. He knows who we are. I mean, if He can count the stars, if He knows the number of stars that are in the universe, you can be assured He knows me and He knows you. A couple of weeks ago, I went out one night to get some firewood, and it was a new moon, and so it was just pitch black, and for some strange reason, there was not a cloud in the sky, and I went out, and as I went out, I looked up, and when I did, I just stood there in awe of God's creation, and I looked up into the sky, and the stars were just brilliantly sparkling. It was just such a clear night. And I stood there looking at the brilliant display of what God had made. And folks, just think about it. God Almighty, here's what I thought as I looked up and saw all those stars. God Almighty knows every one of those stars. He knows them by name. He knows them one by one. And realize now that that same God knows each and every one of us in the exact same way. You see, God does not lump us into groups of thousands or into groups of millions, but instead, God sees us as individuals. I stand alone in God's eyes. He that watches over the entire universe, He that watches over the 6.5 billion people that are on this planet, He has a lot of sheep to tend to, and I know that, but yet the amazing thing is, somehow or another, all of His heart is given to me. Wow, what a God we serve. I'm saying that God's concern is for the individual, and He is searching for you. That's the point. My friend, listen, if you're here tonight, or you're listening to this on a CD, or you're listening over the internet, or however you're listening to this, would you realize, dear friend, that there's a God in heaven, and that God is searching for you. He loves you. He loves you. If the good shepherd went after one sheep that was lost, if this woman tore her house apart to find one lost coin, you should be able to see just how much God is looking for you. Second thing we learn from these two parables is that we must do what we have to do to win the lost. Boy, we see that in the shepherd, and we see that with this woman. They did what they had to do. They did what they had to do. When the shepherd started after the straying sheep, he fully understood that it was a dangerous mission that he was undertaking. He fully understood that. There would be perils at every hand. He would have to be careful for sure because he knew how dangerous the mountains could be for someone traveling alone. And he knew how difficult the desert could be for someone who was traveling alone in the desert. I mean, who knows what he might have to face when he left the sheep cote and went out alone looking for that one lost little lamb. I mean, who knows what difficulty he would have had to face. But I want you to see that nothing could dissuade him from his search. Oh, it's true. He would have been armed. Sure, he would have been armed. But if a band of thieves were hiding and waiting for him to pass, what chance would one man have against a whole group of thugs? And who could tell what ravenous beasts were couching behind a rock somewhere just waiting on him to pass by? And you see, a paid servant probably would not have been as diligent as was the shepherd. If he had hired someone, maybe he said, you know, I've got a lost lamb. I'll pay you if you'll go look for the lamb. And so the guy looks around and says, you want me to go alone? Oh yeah, I'll pay you if you'll just go look for my lamb. You want me to go by myself? Yes, but I'll pay you. And so he starts reaching in his pocket and he starts paying the man. Now, listen, that paid servant, that man that was hired, he might have looked at the danger and he might have decided not to even take the risk and then just go out around the ridge where he could not be seen, but where he wasn't too far away from anything, stay out there a little while, then come back claiming that he had found nothing, when in reality he did nothing but look for ease and comfort along the way. But the shepherd would not care about the danger or the effort that he had to exert. For you see, his main object was to find the lost sheep at any cost. So what do we see here? We see this man was willing to do whatever it took. Now look at the second parable. Think about the woman with the lost coin. I submit to you, she was just as determined. She was just as dogged as was the shepherd. I mean, look at your Bible. She lit every candle to help her see every square inch of her house. She lit every candle. I mean, she swept every square inch of the floor and she searched every single place where a coin might have fallen into. She left nothing uncovered. Carefully, she goes through her belongings. Carefully, she moves objects. Carefully, she scoots things out of the way so that no part of her house is left unsearched. But none of it was a bother to her, because she cannot rest until she finds her precious coin. Precious because it was given to her with love and a promise. No matter how long it takes, she is willing to give her absolute and total focus until it is found. So with the shepherd and with the woman, we see that they did whatever it takes to find that which was lost. Folks, think about it. Do we not see what the Lord Jesus meant to teach us with these two parables? Can we not see that God spares no effort when it comes to winning the lost? All you have to do is just look at the life of the Lord Jesus to see that God feels this way. With the Lord Jesus, whatever it took to find us, that is what he was willing to do. And what it took was the dangerous path that we now know and we now call the road to Calvary. And we read in the scriptures that he willingly, as I pointed out to you this morning, he willingly went down that road. He willingly walked that road in order to save us who had gone astray. Oh, the suffering, the anguish, the pain, the sorrow that he endured. It's proof that he was willing to do what it took to find us and to bring us back to God. Oh, what an example we have here of Jesus, or in Jesus, that he did what he did in order to reach us and to carry us to safety. Then thirdly, and I'm going to stretch this just a little bit, but I think you'll follow it. Number three, I want you to notice in both parables, we're contrasting the two now. I want you to notice there is loss. There is loss in the house, and there is loss in the wilderness. Or flip it around. There's loss in the wilderness. There's loss in the house. Loss in the wilderness and loss in the house. Remember now, these two parables are about lost things. They're about lost things. And notice that one was lost in the wilderness and the other was lost in the house. Now, what is the wilderness in the Bible? Well, in the wilderness, in the Bible, it's the desert. It's the desert. Now, you know that nobody lives in the desert. It's no man's land. It's no man's land. What is the wilderness? In the Bible, the wilderness is desert. What a contrast, folks. It was in the wilderness that the sheep was lost. It was far from the protective walls of the sheepcote. It was wandering around out in, think about it, get the picture in your mind. It was wandering around out in the middle of nowhere, out in the vast nothingness of sand and emptiness. But the coin was not lost in any wilderness. The coin was lost in the house. The coin was lost within the confines of the four walls of home. Now think of it. One was lost out in no man's land. The other was lost in the house. Can we not see a picture that whether in the home or out in some foreign land, we are to help the Lord reach the lost? The Lord is concerned about everyone, and whether in the wilderness or whether in the home. Now, we are all fully aware of the multitude of people across this planet who are spiritually lost. We know that. But yet the shepherd, notice this, folks, the shepherd drops everything, leaves the 99, and goes searching for that which was lost. You know, when Karen and I were in Costa Rica a few years ago, we went down there for our 25th anniversary and spent a couple of weeks down there. And we got to know this young couple from the Netherlands. And we had dinner with them as the week wore on. We had dinner with them one evening. And I asked them, as we were dining, I asked them if they were to die, did they know for sure they'd go to heaven? Now, these folks were, they had no church background at all. They had no clue about eternity. They had heard the name Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. I do remember that he made the comment, he was Jewish, wasn't he? So he didn't know much. He was Jewish, wasn't he? That's about all he knew about Jesus. Isn't that sad? And we sat and talked, and I asked him, if they died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? No, neither one of them knew. And so we started going through the gospel with them. And it took about 25, 30 minutes to win them to Christ because we had to go back and explain basically everything because they had no understanding of anything spiritually. Now, it was difficult to win them because they were so spiritually ignorant of the Word of God. They just had no clue. But the shepherd sought them out and used us to get them from lost to found. Isn't that amazing? And I have often thought about that. Here Karen and I leave Westminster, go all the way down to Central America. Out of all the resorts, we go to this one specific resort. And out of all the people that were staying at that resort, this young couple from the Netherlands, who were there on vacation as well, end up sitting beside of us throughout the week. We strike up conversation and end up leading them to Christ. You think that's an accident? No, sir. That is the shepherd looking for the sheep. That is the woman looking for the lost coin. That is somebody on a foreign mission field as far as we're concerned, but God brought them and put them right in front of us so we could lead them to Christ. It doesn't speak to me, it doesn't speak to Karen, but it speaks to the love that the shepherd has for that which is lost. Oh, thank God. Thank God. But then notice also the coin was lost at home. You know, we think of a foreign land. Well, maybe where there is little or no gospel. But folks, listen, right here at home, there are a lot of lost coins that need to be found. Oh, that we would be as diligent as this woman to find those lost coins for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there seems to always be a sense of urgency among Christians for sending missionaries into the world to reach folks with the gospel. And I'm certainly not against that. You know that. But let's not forget that there are multitudes of people, multitudes of houses right here in America and right here in Westminster where there are lost coins that need to be found. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there a lost coin in your house? Is there a lost coin in your house? Oh, would you get a heart like this woman had and sweep the house until you find it? I never will forget when we were growing up, my dad didn't go to church. He wouldn't go to church. He didn't want to go to church. He was in the Masonic Lodge, and that was his religion, and he was comfortable. He was satisfied with that and happy with that. And he did not want to go to church at all. But my mother, God bless her heart, she would take gospel tracts, and she would put them in his lunch bag. And those little chick tracks, you know, little cartoon tracks. They had those out where we went to church, and every time there was a new one, she would get some of them, and she would put those in his lunch pail and that he would take to work with him each day. And she would find articles in the Sword of the Lord, or she'd find articles in some magazine that was at the church, and she would tear it out and then just lay it on the coffee table. And many a time we'd walk in, Dad'd be sitting there reading what Mom had laid on the table. When he saw us or heard us come in, he put it down real quick. But over time, the seed was sown in his heart. Over time, the Lord started to deal with him. And then I got saved. And then we started going to church. And when we started going to church, and there was such a change in me and my brother and my sister, and we started going to church, and then Dad started coming. And then he came on a Sunday night, and one Sunday night, when the invitation was given down the aisle, my dad came and trusted Christ as his Savior. And my mother was about that high off the carpet, just floating everywhere across the front of the church. She never quit. She never gave up on that lost coin that was at home. Oh, how we need to realize, if you got a lost coin in your house, don't rest. Don't rest until by the light of God's Holy Spirit, those lost coins are found. And then fourthly, lastly, I want you to notice when the lost sheep was found, it was carried by the shepherd. I like that. Verse 5, look at verse 5. He laid it upon his shoulders. He did not commit it to the care of someone else. Oh no. He carried it. He picked that little lamb up and he laid it across his shoulders and carried it back to safety. With rejoicing, he carried it home. You know, think about the coin. When the coin was found, what happened to it? Well, it was returned to service. When she found that coin, she sewed it back on her veil. And then she was able to spend it after she got married. She was able to set up a house with it. She was able to take those coins and cash them in and get started on a home. But when the lamb was found, it was lifted up and secured by the strong arms of the shepherd, and it was carried on his shoulders until the danger of the desert was behind them. And brethren, what a beautiful picture this is of what we can expect when we are found. Every one of us who is found by the good shepherd is carried to safety. Man, you get saved, you don't have to worry about hell anymore. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about judgment. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh my, we're carried by the shepherd. Every one of us is carried to safety. We are kept and we are carried by the shepherd, safe and secure in his strong, loving arms. But wait a minute, like the coin, safe and secure like the shepherd, but like the coin, we are found, watch it now, to be placed into service. That's what this lady did. She put that thing right back in there and sewed it on. Then when she got married, she was able to cash it in and get enough money to get started with a life and a home. Oh, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. The coin was found and then used to help her establish her home and take care of her family. And so is everyone who is saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved to do service for the Lord. Now, Christian, listen. There is some place of service for each and every one of us. There's some place of service. I mean, just like there was a place for this coin that she found. But hand in hand, these parables go. Hand in hand, they fit together. For we are not only found so we can serve, but we are kept and carried by the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Oh, what a simple little picture the Lord Jesus gave to all those people. I wonder how many of them sat there and in the days and weeks to come, they put it all together and that led them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Brethren, rejoice. Rejoice in what the Lord has done for you. You realize you were lost and he came and found you where you were. He put you on his shoulders. Isn't it amazing how he led you here? Churches all over the place and the Lord led you here. I wonder why. Could it be because there is an area of service that he has in mind for you to do for him? Let's read these parables in a different light. And may God touch our hearts with it.